Good day and welcome to the Vienna International Airport Q3 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Judith Helena. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, for the conference call for the third quarter results for Vienna Airport. The presentation will be held by Mr. Ofner. Mr. Jäger is unfortunately not available today. The presentation you can download from the homepage as usual, and again, as usual, there will be a replay available probably starting tomorrow morning. Actually, that's all I had to say, and now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ofner. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to anybody. We have this morning released our Q3 results, and fortunately, I think it was good news for our shareholders and for our company. And to start with the highlights, especially also compared to the earnings end of June, we saw a substantial recovery of passenger volume in Q3. And the minus we had in the first 6 months now turned into 1.5% increase. And also for the rest of the year, we are optimistic so that we could change our guidance for passenger numbers that we will end up above 1% despite the small minus we saw in October of 0.3%. What I think is also very good news is that we could improve our results and net profit, especially despite a not too big jump in our revenues. So 3.8% revenues up, but roughly 12% plus in net profit. We saw again a growth and enhancement of productivity. If you look at the chart, you see that compared to Q1-3 2014, we improved EBITDA margin by 2 points, so from 42.1 to 44.1. And from today's perspective, we will surely end up for the full year above 40 compared to 39.7 last year. The costs proved, the cost savings proved to be sustainable, and we could earn some fruits throughout the year. And by that, we could even overcompensate the wage increases, which were fueled on one hand by additional employees. You may remember that we changed strategy in regard of outsourcing so that we incorporated roughly 100 employees throughout this year. And on the other hand, we had a 2% wage increase starting from 1st of May. We could further reduce our net debt position because we saw a very disciplined CAPEX, which is substantially below earlier guidance. The factors and reasons for that are that some of the projects are cheaper than initially calculated, some are delayed, and some will not be realized at all, so that in total we saved money there. And clearly now our net debt EBITDA ratio is near to 2 or even below that. some reasons to change also our guidance for EBITDA and total turnover, and especially for net earnings, where we now expect to exceed 95 million throughout the year. Financial results you see in the next charts could also be slightly improved, and what we succeeded there is that last year we had the sale of Friedrichshafen, which amounted to roughly 2.3 million, and this we could compensate more or less this year. And EBT, earnings before taxes, are up 12.4%. We saw also improvements in shopping and gastronomy, and I'm sure that it would be one of your questions, what we expect for full year, and from today's perspective, I think we can be pretty sure that we will end up above €2 per passenger in revenue. Where it will be exactly, we will see in our next conference call when we present to you the full year's results. So in any case, thanks God, it's an improvement, and all the measures that have been undertaken there show up positive results. If you look at the expenses, you see that more or less over the board we could reduce costs. If you wonder why depreciation is up, this is connected with measures in regard of the useful time of some of our parts in Terminal 2, where we are now preparing ourselves for the next steps in the project development. And as we assume today that some of the parts will be dismantled in 2019, we already started this year with higher depreciations for the reduced usage time. So this roughly 6 million you will see for higher depreciations also in the years to come. And for a full year, we expect roughly 134 million depreciation right now. Personal expenses are slightly up, but this is somehow covering the fact that last year we had to do a provision, which now is not part of the expenses. So roughly 3 to 3.5 million is the difference in the provision of last year to this year, and therefore the 1.5% are optically slightly less than it would be if it would be the normalized expense level. In other operating expenses, you'll see also a slight decrease by 2.8 million. Clearly, what helped us to reach our cost goals is also the low level in energy prices, but not only the low level in the prices, but also the fruits we earn from more than 100 measures where we invested and took measures to save energy. So in total, our consumption in this year will be down roughly 10% compared to 2012 or 13. If we look at our net debt position, we could improve gearing to 40%, and net debt end of this quarter was at 402.3 million. Free cash flow 139, which was pretty much the same level as last year. CapEx with 45 million slightly down. Equity 1,003,000,000, which equals an equity ratio of 52.9%. If you look at the maturity structure of our outstanding debt, you see that we are not exposed to any risk in regard of debt. And I might remind you that we are starting the repayment of our EIB loan mid-next year, 16 installments, 16 years, each 25 million euros. I already covered the issue of cash flow and CapEx, so you see some details in the next slide. And what have been the main projects in 15 so far? The winter service and equipment hall, the project start for the expansion of our air cargo center, the preparations for the new hotel. All the permissions have been obtained now and work has already started. And as a major part, runway renovation, which in total will amount to roughly 45 million. And more or less one third of that has already been done this year. And there is also a lot of work going on in the revitalization of our office park 3. So putting all together, we could improve our guidance. And as already mentioned, we now expect group net profit of more than 95 million and EBITDA clearly above 260 million. And for the rest, I think no real changes. If we look at our segments, we saw an increase in revenues in the airport segment. There was clearly a negative impact still of the political crisis, especially Russia, but also far and Middle East. We saw positive results, on the other hand, from Western Europe, North America, Africa, and Far East. The revenue rise was due to the higher passenger numbers, the better MTOW, increased fees, and the application of the index formula. On the other hand, what we already discussed with half year's results, our incentive scheme is especially incentivizing transit passengers, and as we saw, the decline there, and the growth was mainly local passengers, is also helped in regard of airport fees. So, revenues up 4.1, EBITDA up 9.9, EBIT up 14.5, employees stable, and the breakdown you see in the graph. Unfortunately, handling is suffering from the reduced flight movements. On the other hand, we have a positive contribution from passenger handling, which now has a market share of more than 20%. In total, revenues were up 3.5, EBITDA with 16% and EBIT with 22%. And due to the fact that now roughly 100 in the other parts of the handling segment. So 100 plus from passenger handling and roughly 45 minus summing up in the other parts of the handling business. Retail and properties I already mentioned. You will be wondering why the results are not reflecting the higher revenue. This is related to additional maintenance work, which we have provisioned for, and which is somehow reducing EBITDA and EBIT, and is not has not led to an increase in EBITDA and EBIT, despite an increase in the revenue. If we look at our subsidies, you see very positive developments there. In the first 9 months, Malta International Airport sees a passenger increase of 7%, and in Košice even 9.8%. Malta sees also a steady increase in the share price. The latest share price was €4 per share, so a sharp increase throughout the year from roughly €2 to €4, which is also reflecting strong passenger growth and also strong results we saw from Malta Airport. Now let's come to the details of the traffic development in the first 9 months. So 17.5 million passengers, 3.4 plus with local passengers, 3.3 minus with transfer passengers. Besides other effects, especially reflecting the still hurting reduction in Russian passengers, which are more or less half of what they have been. Flight movements down and NTOV and TOW up 3.3%, slightly lower load factor, mainly driven by the situation of Austrian Airlines, and is also reflecting the minus in transfer passengers. Cargo is more or less stable, unfortunately, with the negative trend in the last period. And maybe you also are aware that especially Lufthansa announced that they see some problems in their cargo business, which is also clearly hurting the last weeks and months at Vienna Airport. If you now go into the very detail of October 15, you see a slight decrease of 0.3%. Again, local passengers up 2%, transfer passengers down by 0.3%, movements down 3%, NTOW slightly up, and cargo minus 4.4%, what I already mentioned before. If you look at the market share, you see that especially Austrian Airlines Group has a decreasing market share, as also Lufthansa. German Wings slightly increased its market share, and Swiss is stable. So in total, Lufthansa Group has market share now of 56.4, which is clearly down with 2.8 percentage points compared to last year, and which reflects especially the weakness of Austrian Airlines in the first half of 2015. And given that their efforts now will be successful, we hope not to see again the same operational troubles in 16 we saw in 15, which were somehow driven by the efforts of Austrian Airlines in regard of the change of their fleet and also other factors. And we had a lot of discussions with them, and the new CEO, Mr. Kratky, who is very experienced, who was operating Frankfurt base before that, I think has now undertaken a lot of initiatives that we will not see the same problems in 16. Niki is slightly down also, and Air Berlin is slightly up. So in total, it's 0.2% less in 15 than it was in 14, and all the others are more or less improving. So others improved from 16.4 to 18.9. If you look at the changes in frequencies and destinations, there is quite a lot of things going on. So Austrian Airlines started Colombo, Manchester, Marrakesh, Mauritius, Miami, Menorca and Odessa. And what we heard recently from their considerations is that they are pressing inside Lufthansa to get at least two long-distance planes, at least starting from 17, for new destinations to be served from Vienna. And they also announced that they will include China into the table, but maybe that Delhi then will not be served from Austrian Airlines. So the final decision in regard of that has not been announced so far. Niki is new to Alicante, Catania and Paphos, so they are strengthening their tourism part. And from other airlines, we see the new Eurowing base in Vienna, two planes who started operation. We see EasyJet with a much bigger footprint in Vienna, new to Amsterdam, Berlin, Bristol, London, Luton and Manchester. Gehen now new to Rhodes and Heraklion. Air Baltic new to Tallinn. Air Moldova new to Chisinau. British Airways new to London Gatwick. European Air Post now new to Bordeaux and Toulouse. Sun Express new to Dalaman. TUI Fly including some holiday destinations and Eurolink new to Rome. The traffic forecast for 15. I already mentioned, so we think that we will end up above 1% plus, and this is well based on the recent results, and that's now for my part in the presentation, and please feel free to put now your questions. So, who starts?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute button on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Roxandra Dosser from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Roxandra Haradaudis at Kepler Cheuvreux.
Hi.
Two questions, please. First, could you please tell us what is the share of transfer traffic from East to West Europe in your total transfer traffic? Low-cost carriers continue to increase capacities in Eastern Europe, like Ryanair increasing capacities in Bucharest during the current winter flight schedule. And I understand from your annual report that Bucharest is for you the second city in terms of traffic in Central and Eastern Europe. Higher low-cost capacities in Eastern Europe likely to result in higher connectivity and less need for the passengers in the area to book transfer flights. So how shall we think about your transfer traffic going into 2016 and medium term? Second, passenger growth this year is driven by originating traffic, which, as you mentioned, pays higher aviation fees and should imply a higher operating margin for you. So could you please tell us what was the EBITDA margin improvement this year, disregarding the contribution from the higher share in originating traffic? And third, clearly you have done a great job on reducing your net debt and improving your balance sheet over the last years. As in many previous calls, you highlighted the positive development of net debt to EBITDA ratio. It is now below the target of 2.5 times. So what will be the consequences of this achievement? Thank you.
Thank you. So let's start with your last question. I mean, the consequences are that we are very relaxed in regard of the investments we plan, so that our ability to finance terminal improvement and the projects we are right now developing will not be any challenge for us. On the other hand, as you are aware, better results should lead to better dividends, and clearly our shareholders will somehow participate and profit from our better results and also our improved financial strength. I mean, what we additionally do is, you might be aware that we are currently in negotiations to increase our stake in Malta International Airport, and we are expecting the positive decision from the second instance in regard of the third runway now definitely in the course of 16. So putting all together, we will not see the same amount of improvement in our net debt position in 16 than we saw so far, because we will finance these additional investments and also the liquidation of the environmental fund out of our cash flows. This will bring some equilibrium maybe in our financial position for next year. And also you can put in higher taxes, clearly higher results by higher taxes, and you might build up your own mind in regard of our dividend decision. I already mentioned it today when Reuters was asking me that I think all our shareholders will not be totally wrong expecting that the payout ratio will not be lower than last year, so dividends should definitely increase, given that our full-year results will end up where we see it now. In general, we expect stable transfer passengers for 2016. This is also due to the fact, if you look at the the new destinations that have been already fixed for next year's, for next year. I mentioned them before, and you find it in our presentation, that there is no reason to expect that it will be worse. For example, Ukraine, we saw already slight increase in the last period where we had substantial weaknesses before. And if you think of, for example, Ryanair with a better footprint in Eastern European cities, I mean, we see this fact since years already in our neighborhood in Bratislava. And there you have 70% roughly exposure to Ryanair, and it has not hurted our development. So we are not at all bothered or afraid in regard of that. And I think one of the main reasons why we are strongly looking for new long-haul destinations through Austrian Airlines or also other carriers is to have really good offers for people who then from Vienna and through Vienna go to Asia or go to the United States. And if you look at the new long-distance destinations of Austrian Airlines, you see that they are really successful, Chicago, New York, and we hope also Miami. The transfer share this year is 28% so far, including October results. And unfortunately, the split in east-west transfer we have not published so far. Therefore, unfortunately, it's not possible to give you the details. And we would have to do some mathematics also in regard of EBITDA, because also this detail is not available right now. But we can work on that and publish it then later for all of you.
Great, thank you very much. Just one short question. What increase in airport fees do you expect in 2016?
Yeah, it's according to the formula, so...
Okay. Sorry, 16, traffic is already on the home page available.
I think 0.8.
0.8 for 2016
yeah.
as well?
That's
okay,
interesting, I think. 0.0 for landing tariffs, because there we see less movement, so the increase is higher than with the passengers.
Thank you.
0.8 and 1.
We'll now take the next question from Andrew Lobenberg from HSBC.
Oh, hi there. I was hoping that you could describe a little bit how the economics work of the growth from the low-cost carriers that we've got coming in, because we've got growth, some growth already from Eurowings, and presumably there will be more. We've got EasyJet, we've got Vueling coming in. How does this work in terms of any incentive fees, if there are any? How does it work in terms of their average spend in the retail? I imagine it's not that glamorous. So how does this growth feed into your mix? And then otherwise, you spoke just now about Ukraine showing some growth, but at what time do we start, you know, tracking against comparison data for Russia that is fully baked in, and when can we find the floor on that traffic flow and hope that that starts climbing?
Starting with your last question, I think we should be nominated for the Nobel Prize if we would be able to define that, because it's closely connected to the economic development in Russia. And for the time being, I think the mixture of low energy prices and low raw material prices will not allow Russia to recover short term. So this will wait on them for maybe the years to come. On the other hand, we saw a stabilization also there. And given that there are not further currency issues, I think we should see a stable development also for 16. In regard of low-cost carriers, I think we have to stress that we apply the same tariffs as we apply to any other carrier. And yes, there is an incentive scheme, and this is also applicable for new routes. And this is more or less in line with our published incentives. So landing fees are discounted, and some marketing contributions are also part of that. I mean, especially currency relations are very big drivers in the spend increase we saw in the last two quarters. A weaker euro is good for our revenues. And Swiss people are spending the same amount in francs, which is definitely more in euros, or even Great Britain and so on. So all these developments, and if you look at the structure of the new routes covered also by low-cost carriers, we are optimistic in regard of retail revenues, and we should see a very positive contribution out of that.
Okay, thank you.
And what also should contribute to growth in the coming periods are the two new planes from Eurowings, which are starting right now to operate from Vienna, and seven new destinations from EasyJet. And if you look again at the destinations for EasyJet, I think these are also destinations where we expect substantial contributions for retail. So no decrease or not depressed spendings per passengers from that angle.
We'll now take our next question from Thomas van der Meij from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Actually, first question on your retail side. You reported 206 euros per passenger retail sales at H1, and it actually declined to 195 now. Could you explain what happened there?
Like last year, we had the same. The last quarter is one of the strongest quarters. Last year, I think we had in Q4 a 31, which brought our numbers up. And we expect here also to beat at least last year's quarter, because we've got last year quarter, we opened P West very late, where the revenue streams was cut from April to this November. And POS is at the moment one of the strongest increases we're seeing, so we're very comfortable that we will achieve the guidance.
Okay, that's clear. Then on the new tenant, Kühne and Nagel, that signed a contract one of your assets. Is it an existing asset, or will you build a new?
Yeah, that's an existing asset. Which was not fully rented out lately, and which we could fill now with Kühne & Nagel.
And then what's the occupancy?
It's now 100%.
In your overall portfolio?
No, they move roughly 120 people from their offices they had downtown Vienna so far. To the airport, and they rented four floors of the respective building. And we moved some other tenants that have been in this building to other parts of the airport, so that we could offer them 4 floors in total.
Okay, and then could you maybe remind me on the occupancy, like not for the building itself, but on your total space?
We are rented out more or less. So it's some percentages here and there, but given all the places that are rentable, because we have some parts that are not ready to be rented, we are more or less sold out.
Fantastic, understood. Thanks.
Yeah.
We'll now take the next question from Johannes Braun from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have 4 questions. Hi.
Short ones.
So first of all, in terms of the retail and property segment, you mentioned that you carried out a maintenance provision in Q3. I was just wondering how much that was, in terms of the magnitude, so we can calculate an underlying result.
I think 4 million something.
4 million.
Roughly 4 million.
Okay, thank you. And then secondly, just on the CapEx for 2016, what you are planning currently in your budget in terms of CapEx. And thirdly, in terms of the winter schedule.
Yeah, it's roughly, I mean, we have not decided so far our budget, but we are now very far in preparation. You can expect a CapEx slightly above 2015.
Right.
But not substantially differing.
Okay. Thank you. And then just thirdly, on the winter schedule, any indication of the winter schedule, how the winter schedule is shaping up in terms of seat capacity for you?
Looks very stable right now. So no substantial cancellations.
I mean, in the seat capacity, in terms of seat capacity growth year over year.
Yeah, it's roughly stable compared with last year. I would not rule out that we will see some growth, but it will be, if you take 1.5% now as the result for 1 to 9. We will not differ very much from that end of the year.
Okay, in terms of the overall winter season, so until April roughly?
Until April, I mean, compared to the troubles that had Austrian Airlines in 15,
yeah,
and compared that we will see at 29th of February in 2016. So what we see only every 4 years. And given the fact that the seat load factor in 15 was depressed by Austrian Airlines and their troubles, I think we should see a positive effect for 16. The overall offers in seats are more or less the same in winter schedule 15-16 than they have been in 14-15, but there is 1 day more, and there should be much better operational performance by Austrian Airlines than it was last year. So simply, if you take these two facts, it should give you a positive bias,
yes,
for the expectations for winter 16.
I see. Okay. Thank you. And then just lastly, in terms of Eurowings, what is your feeling? Is there any chance the Eurowings will put in more planes into Vienna, so over and above the 2 planes they have already put in?
I think this is very much in the hand of people like Mr. Baublis, the head of the UFO trade union. I think if they continue their efforts to destroy the company, I think we could very much profit from that. And the nerves within the management of Lufthansa, I think, are very stressed. And we had Mr. Spohr recently in Vienna, and he was very, very positive that the developments within the company could be very supportive for additional capacities to Vienna.
Was that for the upcoming winter schedule or for the summer schedule?
I think this is a little bit too short term,
okay.
But it would affect the plans of Eurowings, and it could be very supportive for the plans to add additional long-distance planes to Vienna and also other capacities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from Andy Jones from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the question. I've got three very quick questions. Firstly, I saw something in the press a couple of weeks back saying that Vienna Airport had applied for permission for A380s to land at the airport. I mean, what prompted this? Is there anything specific or just part of business as usual?
Business as usual. So we have now the permit, and if somebody would like to operate the A380 here, we are ready.
Okay, great.
From the standpoint of the legal framework.
Okay, fantastic. My second question is on Malta. Can you share any more information about the likely next steps to this process in terms of timing, what needs to be done before
closing? Closing should take place in the first quarter 16.
Okay.
So we are now in the negotiation process. There are no big obstacles, but all the necessary legal and commercial work has to be done, and this is underway, so we are optimistic that closing will happen early in 16.
Okay, thank you. Great. And my last question was on provisions. I know you referenced provisions about 3 to 3.5 million in the prior year's comparison, and also the maintenance provisions in the retail and property segment. But I just had more of a question on ground handling. If I look at what happened in the third quarter, you've just produced a 25% EBITDA margin, which is nearly 500 basis points higher than you've ever done before, which is great. But I was just wanting to understand whether there are also any provision releases in this division as well.
Yeah, this is the non-provisioning of 15 compared with 14. So in 14 we had a high extra provision in regard of personal costs, and now in 15 we don't have the same. So this shows up as an improvement in the results.
Okay, but even if I compare to the other years before 2014, it's still a much higher.
I mean, we also, this is also reflecting that the total level of costs is going down, because also the handling segment is profiting from lower energy costs, from lower labor costs and other aspects, all the service costs, maintenance costs, machinery and so on. So the cost base is also there, is improving, and this is supportive for the results, despite the fact that we have less movements. And we have a very restrictive contractual regime with our customers. So it shows the best effect and the most secure effect you can produce on your own if you try really to be best in class in regard of productivity. And this is part also of the results you see in the handling sector.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for the color.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1. We'll now move to the next question from Suzanne Todd from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Three questions. I'll try and make them quick. First of all, just the CapEx for this year. Could you just firm up the guidance? I mean, should we expect CapEx to be lower than 2014, for example, at the $75 million or higher than that? Secondly, on labour, given that you had, I think, benefit of provisions in the third quarter labour expense, I'm seeing $60.9 million of labour expense. Can you give us an idea for the fourth quarter of what to expect for labour? Would we also see a benefit of provisions being lower there as well? And thirdly, just to come back on the question on the winter seat capacity, I mean, if I look into the published schedules, I'm seeing seat growth of about 7% in the first quarter, approximately 6% in the second quarter, clearly with benefit from the extra leap day, as you mentioned. Do those numbers look reasonable to you, given that we see currently in published schedules? Thank you.
Unfortunately, we had some technical problem. I did not get the last part of your question. Could you maybe repeat it?
I will do. Hopefully,
yeah.
My first two questions were about CapEx and the labour cost in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Perfect. My final part was just about the seat capacity for the winter, because the OAG schedules suggest about 7% growth in the first quarter, about 6% in the second quarter. And I wanted to see whether those numbers tallied with what you are saying.
Yeah, CapEx expectations for full year, you can assume that it will be below last year's figures. But there is still some room to maneuver, and the details we will see in our full year's results. Labor costs, you should not see any substantial difference what you see now in Q3, because we had no substantial additional measures or subsidies last year. And we are also not foreseeing anything material for this year. Interest rates have no real impact because our EIB loan is 25 years fixed. And for the provisions, we already went down to 1.8 last year. So we do not see any reason to change that for our balance sheet in 15. Seats expected for the rest of 15 is plus minus zero compared to last year. And unfortunately, we cannot know what is in the database of OIG. Maybe they have not put in some winter cancellations that happen on a day-to-day basis. And in our expectations, we also put in our model some assumptions about cancellations that definitely will also take place this winter. Also, we had the warmest November, I think, since decades. So due to weather, we had only few cancellations so far. But maybe we see a strong winter in several weeks ahead, and this would also influence the seat capacity, and there might also be commercial reasons for the airlines to do some cancellations. So this might explain maybe the differences between the OIG numbers and our expectations.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to ask a question, please press star one. There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Perfect. Well, in this case, I'd say we finish with the conference call. I know that some of you could not listen to the full conference call. There will be a replay available probably starting tomorrow morning. Please excuse us for the technical difficulties. If you have any other questions, feel free and get back to me. I'm happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.